and welcome to this episode of Tea Break, Trans in the City's new podcast. My name is Becca, my pronouns are she, her, and I am the media director here at Trans in the City and also the founder of Brandon by Becca, a small marketing agency. And I'm here with the lovely Nikki. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would, yeah. I'm Nikki, my pronouns are she, her, and I am the business director for Trans in the City.
Amazing. So we are here today to talk about allyship. So I think we both probably have an outside perspective of allyship, both being complete allies to the LGBTQ plus community. So should we start with what does allyship mean to you personally, and how has your understanding of it developed over the years?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think we're in a really privileged position because we're working with trans and non-binary people, the amazing team at Trans in the City, day in, day out. So we're able to be allies and to support our amazing colleagues in a really visible way. Mm-hmm. Probably about 5-6 years ago, before I was really involved with Trans in the City, I was probably what I would say now is a more passive ally. I have always been really supportive of LGBT groups, other minority groups, disabled people, people of colour. You know, I've always had the view that we're all equal and we should help and support each other and be kind to each other. But I think your question about how's it changed over the years, I think I've become much more aware of how we actually need to speak up and call out anything that is misinformation or is hatred, all of the things that we see going on in the media all of the time at the moment, sadly.
Yeah,
but I think I've become more aware of how we need to actually stand alongside our trans and non-binary friends and colleagues and be vocal and visible on their behalf. And I think that's how my allyship has grown over the years. How about you, Becca?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is that thing of being an ally and being an active ally. So I've always had the mindset of why can't we just, let everybody get on with their lives, be who they are, as long as they're not causing harm to anybody else. Why can't everybody just get on with their life? But I think for me, I grew up in a very rural part of the country where there were very few open members of the LGBTQ plus community. I think I knew a handful of cis male homosexuals growing up and one trans person. So I think not knowing many members of the community, I didn't understand the challenges that they faced, on a daily basis. So I didn't realize the need to stand up and use my privileged voice, and it shouldn't be a privileged voice, but my privileged voice as a cishet white woman to stand up and make a difference, because wrongly so, people are gonna listen to me more than they would to members of the community. And that is entirely wrong, but we need to work to get to a place where that isn't the situation that we're in. So I think having come into Trans in the City, growing up, as I said, I knew one trans person. I didn't have the experience in rural West Wales of the challenges that they faced. And, there would have been challenges. Of course, there would have been. But I think coming into living in a bigger city, working with trans and non-binary young people, working with Trans in the City, seeing what the community has to face, it makes me angry. It makes my blood boil what they have to put up with. And I think that kind of pushes you to say, absolutely not, that is not right. I'm going to stand up and do something about it. And I think that's what people need to do and need to realise, that it's not good enough just being like, oh, yeah, I don't mind if somebody's trans. That's fine. That's great. That's what we need everybody to be on. But you need to be the next level of standing up, educating others and empowering the voices of the marginalised communities.
Yeah, and I think what you said about that awareness is so important, because I have friends who are very similar to you and I, who would always want to be supportive of marginalized communities, whoever they were, who maybe know, you know, a few gay or lesbian people within their circle, and mm-hmm. and are very accepting of that, but who may never have knowingly met a trans person. I hadn't met a trans person until, you know, a few years ago, very much like yourself. So I think for me, part of being an ally is raising that awareness with the people around me. You know, I think we've talked before, haven't we, about allyship not needing to be standing on the stage at a pride in front of a huge audience, or you know, being a high profile presence on social media. All of those allies and speakers are absolutely incredible, but we can also do so much just in our own circles, and just raising the issue with friends. Many of my friends, you know, just weren't aware of how much abuse and violence and hatred there is towards the community, and that's evidenced all the time, and we just see so much, and sometimes there isn't that realization of what's really going on until there are more high profile cases like Brianna Jai and those tragic circumstances, but to make people aware and to tell them what it's like to be a trans or a non-binary person in our society today is one way that we can just take that next step up and build on it, and encourage people to just speak out about it and say, this isn't right, we shouldn't be living in a society like that.
Absolutely. And just going back to what you said about, you know, people don't need to be out there on a soapbox, you know, chanting and demonstrating or whatever they might think active allyship is. It could be really simple things like heteronormative language and avoiding the use of that in your everyday life, and just to broaden it to more of the LGBTQ plus community in general. So there's one thing that I try and always correct if I'm speaking to somebody, is the use of the word straight. So it is such a common term that we use, but it's actually a derogatory, so straight, the opposite of straight is bent, and bent is a derogatory term used for gay people. So if I ever see, you know, a form that says, what is your sexual orientation? And it says straight, or, you know, I hear somebody saying it, I always correct them and I say, no, that's the wrong word. You need to use the word heterosexual, because just little things like that, you know, when people aren't using that word in malice, they don't know the history of it, but it's not something we should be using. And that's something I try and educate, you know, even just saying that to one person, it's going to make them stop and think. And along the same lines, things like saying ladies and gentlemen, welcome ladies and gentlemen, it excludes a whole area of the community just by changing what you're saying to welcome everybody, good evening folks, you know, just little things like that. It's so easy to change the way you're speaking, and by me telling other people that in day-to-day lives, you know, I've met so many people who they think they're an ally because, you know, they have a gay best friend or something like that, as people always say, but then they don't know the correct terminology to use for a trans person, and they're saying things that is very outdated and very, you know, harmful to the community. And it's like, okay, why don't you take the 2 minutes to educate yourself, go and find a trustworthy article online to educate yourself on that. And just to use a real life example, going back to heteronormative presumptions, Sarah, who is our fellow director and close personal friend, and I work with her in a lot of other projects, she's getting married, she recently got engaged, and I'm her maid of honor. So going out dress shopping, the bridal assistants, they automatically will say, how did you meet the groom, how did you what's the groom's name, how did he propose? And Sarah, being an openly gay woman, I know that the bridal assistants don't see any malice in that, and you know, it's just a mistake. But I know if somebody said that to Sarah, when you know it's supposed to be a really happy day going to try on wedding dresses, that would really affect her. So I always try going in and make sure to say before they can, you know, make any presumptions, oh yeah, two brides, or mention her fiance's name, just to protect a little bit from that situation. And again, educate people. And I think that's so important. Just if we can all, you know, impart one piece of wisdom or one piece of knowledge every day, I think, you know, we're going to be one step closer to building a better community.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's often those little throwaway things which are habits. So, you know, I've done it myself. You know, if you walk into meet a group of people or a group of friends saying hi guys, or you know, it's or as you say, saying ladies and gentlemen, or addressing letters, especially formal letters, where it's drilled into us at school to write a letter starting dear sir, madam, all of these kind of things which are almost embedded because it's just the traditional way that things have been, or the traditional ways of greeting, whether informally or formal. They're things that we can change. We can go into a room and say hi everyone, or hi all, or you know, when we're writing a letter now, I tend to use, you know, dear, if I'm not sure who I'm addressing, I'll say, you know, dear team, or
who it may concern, something
really customer services, or whatever it is. But you're right, these very simple changes are a great start, but also very, very powerful. Another thing that I know we've all done, obviously through work, but I now do in any personal correspondence, is I always put my pronouns. Even if I'm doing a more informal email to somebody, I'll put my pronouns, because that's, firstly, it's a good indicator to anybody reading a message from me that I understand the importance of that. And it also means that the other person feels more comfortable, because they know that they're speaking to someone who has that understanding, and that helps to break down barriers as well.
Absolutely. And something like pronouns in, you know, email signature, or on your, you know, ID card, or whatever it is, it's not going to matter to somebody who is not trans, non-binary, or gender non-conforming. You know, I've had people saying, you know, why do you need that? You know, it's not gonna make a difference. But that simple gesture, you know, I have interviewed people before, and that we interviewed somebody who was non-binary, and the simple gesture of me introducing myself, hello, my name's Becca, my pronouns are she, her, they will instantly know, okay, this person understands. They understand the importance of introducing themselves with their pronouns. You know, it doesn't matter what my pronouns are, it's just that kind of putting that out there, that, you know, I understand this is important, you are safe to share whatever you need to with me, if that makes sense. So it's such a simple thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's something else which you just mentioned, to saying people are safe with that people are safe with you. You can buy these really lovely pin badges now.
Yeah.
Which say safe with me, and members of the community will know that you are going to be understanding, you are not going to be abusive, you are going to be accepting. I went into a well-known high street clothes shop a few weeks ago, and I was served by someone who I was fairly certain was trans. They were wearing a trans lanyard, and they had a pronoun badge on their lanyard, and I had my trans in the city badge available at all and a safe with me badge, and they raised they picked up on it with me and said, oh, it's good to see you wearing a Safe with Me badge. They were really appreciative. He said that really means a lot. And then they started talking about the fact that they were trans. Yeah. I was able to start talking about trans in the city, and we had a brilliant conversation. And at the end, they said, you know, actually, I don't really get to talk with many people who really understand. And most people, even though I'm wearing a lanyard and I'm wearing a pronouns badge, mm-hmm. you know, maybe ignore it, not in a malicious way, but you know, they really appreciated the fact that we could have a conversation and they could be their authentic selves with me, and that's just from wearing a badge. So Absolutely. Little things count for so much.
Yeah, and I think there's two points that I want to raise from what you just said. So one is the badges. So yeah, on my work lanyard, I have my Trans and City badge. I have a progressive pride flag badge. I have a pronouns badge and fast track and so many other badges. Yeah. And I know, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, are you trans? Because I was wearing a trans badge. And I was like, firstly, no. Secondly, please don't, you know, openly go and ask somebody that question in a public space, because they may not be comfortable to have that conversation. But thirdly, if I it hasn't happened yet because I've only been in my job for not very long, but if I were to meet a member of the LGBTQ plus community and they saw that I was wearing those badges, they would, I hope, instantly feel safe and know that they could come and talk to me, and, you know, that I'm, you know, going to be an ally and I'm going to be there for them. But I think the second thing that you brought up there was you being there to listen to them. They hadn't had that opportunity to talk to people about, you know, who they are, essentially. So I think being an ally, it can be something as simple as being there to listen to people, listening to what they're going through. And we talk about standing up and speaking out. And I think, yes, that's so important, but we have to do it in a way that we are amplifying their voices, not speaking for them. And I think that's something really important and something we need to kind of find, you know, the line on. Yeah. But something as simple as listening and amplifying voices is really important. And that's something that so I used to work for Good Vibes, which is an LGBTQ plus youth group based at YMCA Swansea, and so obviously my background is marketing, and I would use my skills, my privilege again as a cis het white woman, to amplify their voices. And we did that through, you know, various different forms. You know, it could have been on social media, but a big project we did was Pride. So I was lucky enough to witness a lot of these young people's first experience of a Pride event. And it was
amazing.
It was amazing just to see, you know, as an outsider, I wouldn't have realized the profound effect that could have had on somebody. But being there, we were at the front of the Pride parade. It was their first Pride event for many of them. And just being there, seeing and feeling the atmosphere of them being at the front with their Pride boards that we'd, you know, spent time making and everything like that. It was just an amazing experience. So I think using our privilege to amplify them in whatever way we can. You know, for those young people, it was simple as helping them make designs that we then put on t-shirts and badges and stickers to sell to raise money for the youth group. But just being there to support them rather than, you know, overpowering them or talking for them, I think that's such a really important thing that some people don't necessarily realise that they might be doing.
Yeah, I think that's really, really amazing and so powerful, as you say. And I think that, you know, yes, of course, there are lots of opportunities for people to really stand up publicly and visibly. We try through Trans in the City to do that as much as we possibly can and use our platform to be able to reach out to corporate organisations and through social media to as many people as possible. And that's really important. But I think what we've sort of focused on today is that as individuals, that might feel quite daunting to some people.
Oh, yeah.
And they may not have those opportunities. We are fortunate that we do have that opportunity. But there are so many things small things, small steps, which may actually not seem that monumental to us, but they are to the person that's standing in front of us, the trans and the non-binary person, gender non-conforming person in front of us. It's massive, and there is so much there is so much awful stuff going on, particularly in the media, mm-hmm. and that we hear about every day, that to actually have someone who is standing up and saying, "I'm with you, I stand with you," has a profound effect on some people, and just mm-hmm. these small things that we can do are just really, 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 really important. And from there, you know, then we can build up and get involved in doing other things, and taking more steps. But yeah, another thing that you mentioned was educating yourself. You know, if you don't have contact with trans or non-binary people on a day-to-day basis, there are loads of brilliant sources of information.
Absolutely.
That will give you guidance, and that will give you a more balanced view and an authentic lived experience of what happens to trans and non-binary people in their daily lives. And there are, you know, there's loads of stuff on the Trans in the City website. We're about to launch these amazing infographics,
mm-hmm.
which give all sorts of information, statistics, the real picture of what happens for trans and non-binary people, and also some really great pointers for allies too. But there are other places too. You know, the Stonewall website is a great source mm-hmm. of information. There are lots of other amazing organisations out there who are working on behalf of trans and non-binary people. So it is out there. You just have to look for it and cut through all of the stuff that you know. Absolutely. Is coming in mainstream press.
Finding the reputable sources, I think, is really key there. And I know that you mentioned, you know, if people don't have contact with trans and non-binary people, but I think it's also very important, you should not rely on them to educate you. That is not their responsibility. You need to educate yourself. You know, there obviously are some people out there, it could be something simple as following a trans and non-binary person on social media. Just for example, Eva Echo, Katie Neves, following them on social media. They put out educational content all the time. They are there willing to share everything with you. But that does not mean you should go up to any trans and non-binary person and say, "Oh, hey, can you teach me about this?" Because that is not their responsibility. Absolutely. So absolutely. I think, as we said, educating yourself is absolutely the start of anybody's kind of active allyship journey. So I think, you know, maybe we'll come back and do another podcast on, you know, the next levels and, you know, the level up. But I think without educating yourself in the first instance, you know, that's where everybody's got to start. That's the backbone of allyship. So I think it's quite clear what our key point from this podcast is, really, is get out there, educate yourself, and do so via reliable sources rather than, you know, any news article that you kind of pick up. But I think that is such an important starting point. And then those little everyday things like trying to avoid heteronormative presumptions, simple things like pronouns or wearing, you know, rainbow lanyards and stuff like that. I think it is the little everyday things that it's the starting point, isn't it? It's where everybody's got to start their journey.
It is a starting point, and from there, you know, you can build that up and take more steps. And there are lots and lots of opportunities to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today about allyship. I think it's so clear what we've kind of come to a conclusion of. So I hope people can take something away from that. Amazing. Thank you so much. And we will see you in the next episode.
Thanks, Becca.